So with that story that Sitara just mentioned there, that the MasterCard site is down, and it could be because of a group sympathetic with WikiLeaks, we may be seeing a kind of Halo Storm video game playing out in the real-life Internet. Julian Assange in the custody of British authorities. What are the value of international secrets? Should an organization like WikiLeaks actually dump virtually every class of government secret onto the live Internet for the perusal of the public? What can he be prosecuted for? This is certainly a transformative moment. But there's also a sense here that this is an individual who's decided to take on the world, and the world is very much biting back. Someone who knows what that's all about is Scott Ritter, former chief weapons inspector for the United Nations Special Commission in Iraq from 1991 to 1998. Scott Ritter, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, when you were critical of the Bush policy in the war in Iraq and said that you didn't believe there would be weapons of mass destruction after the 2003 invasion of Iraq, it seemed as though there was a full court press against you on a professional and personal level. Can you relate, without talking about the secrecy issue for the moment, can you relate to the pressure that Julian Assange is under right now?
Well, I can only speak to myself. I don't know, you know, what he's going through. I will say this, that when an individual decides to take on the system, a system, especially one as powerful as the U.S. government, you need to stand by because the things will change, not necessarily in a positive manner. The system doesn't like to have someone stand up, especially someone armed with facts and information. Again, you know, there's a lot of people who challenge U.S. government policy, and do so without being subjected to any sort of counter push. But when you challenge U.S. government policy armed with facts that contradict official statements, facts that show that U.S. government officials and indeed at the highest level are being disingenuous, are lying. The system has a way of striking back. The last thing they want to do is enter in a debate on the facts, and they will do their best to shift the nature of the discussion to attack the credibility of the individual on a number of levels. I mean, the day I resigned from the United Nations, having informed the United States government that I was against their policy for some time now, the day before I was told by the CIA that if I resign and speak out, that the FBI will destroy me. That's a quote from a senior CIA official. The day I resigned, I turned on the television to find Dan Rather talking to the entire nation about espionage charges being filed against me by the FBI in relation to my work at the United Nations with Israel.
So I guess, in short, you can definitely relate. Well, here's my question, and just please, with all due respect, guys like you and Julian Assange, and I guess maybe you're apples and oranges, but, I mean, when you know you're going to take on the world like this, and you got into some, you know, sort of questionable problems where your morals were sort of questioned in part of this sort of firestorm. Julian Assange has these sort of sexual misconduct charges that he's facing. I mean, you guys got to keep your nose clean if you're going to go up against the entire world. I mean, what is it? You got to go into this perfect. You got to be crystal clean.
First of all, as humans, the concept of the perfect human being is one that doesn't exist. Second of all, with all due respect, when we balance, for instance, the value of human life, 4,000 people's lives plus American lives lost because of an illegitimate war in Iraq, and the notion of, should I speak out or shouldn't I speak out because of X, Y, and Z? It's not a debate. The bottom line is you want to speak of moral obligations. The moral obligation to speak out about government wrongdoing that manifests itself in the massive loss of human life, or to keep your mouth shut because you might be subjected to embarrassment, No, I'm sorry. Right. That's not even a debate.
All right. I just always wanted to ask you that, Scott Ritter. You gave me an answer. Finally, what are the value of international secrets in the WikiLeaks era? Are they out the window?
Look, the international secrets have never had any value. All WikiLeaks has done is operate on a massive level in a game that's always been played. The concept of leaked classified information to the media, you know, it's been going on forever. Many of the leading critics, Senator Joe Lieberman, Representative Pete King, are all guilty of facilitating the leak of classified information to the media to fulfill, you know, their policy objectives. When they want to promote missile defense, they'll have a CIA document leaked to the media that shows that the Russians are doing X, Y, and Z or cheating. It's a game that's been played for some time now. The difference here is that WikiLeaks has taken the game out of the comfort zone, where you have politicians leaking to journalists that they know will treat the information properly. Here, they've bypassed the middleman and gone straight to the customer, the American people, the international public, and that's what got them in trouble.
Well, Scott Ritter, it is a chess game on international secrets. WikiLeaks, I think it's fair to say, and you sort of set the metaphor up right there, has taken the chess board away and just sort of thrown the pieces directly at the public. Scott Ritter, former weapons inspector for the United Nations Special Commission in Iraq, a critic of the war in Iraq who understands what it's like to be in the center of a firestorm. Scott, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Finally, we'll finish out the hour with Jim Fitzmaurice, playwright and professor of theater history and literature at Tulane University. Jim, there's another character for you right there.
Oh, I know, absolutely. Would you like a title for our drama?
Oh, yeah.
How about Cloak and Download?
Oh, nice. Oh, that's great. I love that. That's actually a genre. That's not even a title. It's like the Cloak and Download genre.
I know it's a whole new thing in Hollywood, and I actually have an actor too to play Julian.
Who plays? You know, Julian looks exactly like Liam Neeson.
Yeah, I think he does actually. I think he'd be great. I also think Cillian Murphy, who played Scarecrow in the Dark Knight movies, would be kind of perfect too. I think, you know, there's a whole bunch of young and upcoming actors who I think would really kind of play well into that kind of alienated loner that he kind of perfected in his own performance.
Now, you want to make these alleged Swedish women actually Russian, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it gives it a whole kind of international spice, and the audience will be able to react to those accents in a certain kind of way. It plays into all our suspicions about what's going on in the world.
And you know, at the core of this is just like the Facebook movie. This is really serious, transformative social history that's being played out on the stage.
Oh, absolutely. And the thing is the fact that it's like, you know, I've had people have seen the Facebook movie, and there are two kinds of people. People who have no clue what they're looking at, and people who are all part of this world. And so it's a language that more people can understand.
Right.
And so it becomes an easier world to kind of get into as
Universal,
the time goes by.
Before WikiLeaks, there was drama, long before WikiLeaks. So Jim Fitzmaurice, so author of Cloak and Download, I think it's fair to say, a work in progress, playwright and professor of theater history and literature at Tulane University. Thanks so much.
Thank you, too.
All right, join our conversation. The conversation with about WikiLeaks and Julian Assange continues with you at thetakeaway.org or call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Thanks for that hour, folks. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.